You know, this morning, I'm really excited to talk to you about belief and why that's important. You know, we believe in a lot of different things. We believe a certain car brand is better than every other one. My dad was that way. Anything that wasn't Chrysler was a piece of trash. That was just the way in which he lived life, right? And it was just really important for him to do that. To every single car had to be a Chrysler. And the day I bought my Toyota in 2006 was the worst day of his life, almost, right? And it's still running today, but it's still a piece of trash because he believes with every part of his being that Chrysler is the way to do it. We believe in a certain sports team, right, that they are the best. And it is a shame that Tim Ward is not here today. Because my Virginia Tech Hokies, and he's going to listen back to this, Tim, my Virginia Tech Hokies beat your UVA Cavaliers in basketball. Somebody told me a football season that basketball season was coming. And yes, sir, you are right. But we believe in sports teams, right? We believe in our favorite groups. Somehow they impact our day, they impact our feelings, they impact where we spend our money. And we want to have other people agree with us for the most part. That is why Facebook posts, why social media gets very complicated very quick, because people argue in a very inappropriate space what they believe in. Well, this morning, we're going to be talking about why belief matters. We're going to be talking about why our motivations matter, because they matter deeply to God. And as we prepare for Lent, a season where we ask ourselves, what is it we believe? Is it in line with God's word? Is it in line with who God is calling me to be? It is so, so vitally important that what we believe really matters to who we are, and we're living it out. I want to share just a little bit about motivation. I have a three-year-old, and you all probably know him. It's Benjamin. If you don't know him, he's very sweet during the day. This time, the 10 o'clock hour to like 11 o'clock hour daily, he's an angel. He's an angel. Now, once the evening hours hit, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, something terrible happens to my three-year-old. It's really difficult. He stops listening to anything I have to say. So I can go up to him and I can say, Benjamin, would you like ice cream? He looks at me and goes, no, I want my mommy. Benjamin, would you like a new pony? No, I want my mommy. And then he looks and he will just snuggle up with his mommy and she will say, Benjamin, would you please go pick up? Yes, mommy. I say it, Benjamin, would you please pick up? No, why? And like most teenagers, I remember I promised I would never say this, but I end up saying it. I said, because I said so. Right? That's not a good source of motivation. That wears off very quickly. You all probably know that in your own lives. When somebody tells you because I said so, you don't usually follow through with it. Or if you do, it's usually just shaking your head, having to get it done, things like that. Well, the good news is that especially as we look at our creeds, as we look at what we believe in Scripture, God doesn't leave us with the words, hey, it's because I said so. God gives us reasons, stories, opportunities to stand on the shoulders of giants, to really focus on what we believe in. Now, if you came to shove to most people, they would say that they believe in God. That might be a popular thing. It might be because someone's going through a really difficult time. And in order to illustrate that this morning, I want to share with you a video clip from one of my favorite TV shows, The Simpsons. So, with that being said, poor Bart has a little problem with a test that he's getting ready to take.
Bart, it's past your bedtime.
Okay. This is hopeless. Oh. Well, old timer, I guess this is the end of the road. I know I haven't always been a good kid, but if I have to go to school tomorrow, I'll fail the test and be held back. I just need one more day to study, Lord. I need your help.
Prayer, the last refuge of a scoundrel.
A teacher strike, a power failure, a blizzard, anything that'll cancel school tomorrow. I know it's asking a lot, but if anyone can do it, you can. Thanking you in advance, your pal, Bart Simpson.
Go ahead and put up Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 7. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous. When God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found anyway because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness. What is keeping with faith? Ultimately, all of these people did the right thing. But they were commended not just for doing the right thing, but because they did it in faith. Because they believed with all their hearts what God was sharing with them. Hebrews 11 tells us that belief matters. Friends. Hebrews 11 is a call to reflect. What is it that you really believe in? It's a call to confess. Where are the dissonances in our lives? Where our belief and our actions may not be in alignment. Certainly is a call to renew one's faith. To ask the questions, what does it really mean to stand and believe in God? And finally, Hebrews 11 is a call to action. That faith isn't something that we just say we believe, but it's something that we act on. Now, Bart had this problem. You see, the blizzard came, and he had no intention right away of actually following through on his prayer, but his sister Lisa helped remind him of how important that would be.
Cowabunga!
Remember to take a break if your arms go numb.
Hey, I heard you last night, Bart. You prayed for this. Now your prayers have been answered. I'm no theologian. I don't know who or what God is exactly. All I know is he's a force more powerful than Mom and Dad put together, and you owe him big.
You're right. I asked for a miracle, and I got it. I gotta study, man.
Now, Bart would study and would end up, by a miracle almost, passing that exam. But I wonder in some ways, what does it really mean for us? So you see, we act in a way, oftentimes, where we care deeply about the things around us. But if our faith, if our belief, if our motivation isn't centered in God, then oftentimes those actions will dry up. We will burn out. You see, there are these moments in life where we have to step back and say, God, what am I doing? Where are you leading me? Why do I do the things I do? And as a church, as a community, as individuals, we ask those questions. We ask the questions. Why do we go and feed the hungry? Why do we go and work at the hypothermia shelters? Why do we believe in missions? Why are we kind to our neighbor? Why would we give a stranger a compliment? And in all of those things, the answer is because we believe that God is bigger. We believe that Jesus is Lord, not only of the entirety of creation, but of our lives as well. And we believe that the Holy Spirit is active in our world, that God is calling us to something more. You notice in Hebrews 11, there is this sign where the author goes through, and we only read a portion of it. Hebrews 11 and 12 really is kind of like a hall of fame of reminding people of all the great heroes of faith. You see, we have Abel, who lives out by sacrificing, giving sacrificially to God, and thus pleases God. You have Enoch, who just lives a life trying so hard to focus on God that he ends up just being taken up with God. You have Noah, who builds an ark when I'm sure he was made fun of a lot for building a giant boat in the middle of nowhere. But because he was called, because he knew that God was real, because he had faith, he continued to build that today so that we could live. We continue to look at other heroes of faith: Abraham, Peter, Paul, Deborah, Ruth. All of them lived out the faith and did very difficult things because they believed. Because they knew God was present, and because they knew God was real. That lasted them through the entirety of the race. I too love the Olympics. Do. And one of the things that happens a lot of times, especially with new people, new athletes in the Olympics, is they will take off like this. And they will skate, especially Winter Olympics, they'll skate as fast as they can. Or in the Summer Olympics, they swim as fast as they can. And you'll see them start to take that lead right in the beginning. But what often happens is that they come out too fast and they're caught up by someone who's more seasoned, a veteran who knows what it's like to race at the Olympics, how to control their adrenaline, how to control the race and the crowd and the environment. Control the pressure. Oftentimes, one of the things with new Christians is we want to take off. We want to do all the things because these things are great. These things are good. I remember my very first mission trip. I was in love with going on mission. My very first overseas mission trip, we packed a whole bunch of suitcases of clothes to take it down to an orphanage to give away. I was so on fire. But then when someone challenged me, when someone said, "What exactly are we doing?" it became hard, and I had to really ask myself, what am I really doing? Am I seeking the kingdom of God, or am I just doing it for myself? Am I really seeking to live out of faith? Or instead, am I just trying to soothe my own conscience? On that trip, I remember someone pulling me aside and say, "I appreciate the spirit of you bringing down a whole bunch of suitcases worth of clothes, but it's actually quite harmful. You see, there are people that make their living selling clothes. And you just brought down 10 suitcases of clothes and have now flooded the market." I got mad. I was a 21-year-old kid, and I got mad because guess what? I wanted to do it so well. I wanted to do what God wanted me to do, and I thought for sure it was this idea of bringing down all these suitcases of clothes and soccer balls and all those kinds of things. I wasn't humble enough to realize that this person was right. I was more interested in being the hero, and I put that in quotes, being the hero than being a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. I wasn't concerned with belief. I was only concerned about my own selfishness. And it took years before I was willing to step back and say, you know what? That person was right. Not meaning to, I hurt the very people I was trying to help. I hurt them. Friends, this season of Lent, this series where we're talking about what do we really believe in, are those things in line with Scripture, Are those things aligned with tradition as we explore the creed? What challenges us? What calls to us? What encourages us? And what might need to change? Right now on campus, where I work at GMU, a lot of our students are asking the question about what they're going to give up for Lent. And there are the typical things. One of them is giving up food for an entire day all throughout Lent. They're actually going to fast from sunup to sundown. Some people are giving up chocolate and sugary treats. But the one that sticks with me the most is the student who is going to give up something. They actually said they usually play video games for an hour. They're going to cut it back to half an hour. And take the extra half an hour to learn more about God, to learn more about what they believe, to sit and to pray and read their Bible. That to me means so much more. Because not only, they're not looking at it just from themselves as to what they're giving up. Can they give up the most? Can they give up the biggest thing? But they're trying to grow closer to God. And I know we have a couple of days, if it's your tradition to give something up, I would challenge you to add something in. To not just let it be something that you give up temporarily. Maybe it's going and being a part of a life group and giving up that time. Maybe it's giving something up and replacing it with prayer, with reading scripture, with serving someone else. Maybe it's finding opportunities to do whatever is pulled out of that jar. That instead of going to your favorite coffee place, that you go somewhere new. And really live out what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Our beliefs matter immensely. And I am so excited to go on this journey together, asking ourselves, what is it we believe? Because it is so, so important to really bringing and building up the kingdom of God here, right here, in Reston, in Forest Edge, and in our own little communities and families. Let's pray. Gracious God, you bring us here this morning, challenging us to seek you, to seek your kingdom. God, like the heroes of faith before us, help us to be able to see you, to be able to hear you, and to be able to go and live our lives, not for anyone else, but for you. God, where there is dissidence, create harmony. Where there is strife in our own lives, help us to create peace. God, we need you in the midst of this process. It is not something we can do on our own, but we need your grace. We need your Holy Spirit. I pray right now that we would feel your Spirit and your presence, not only here this morning, but throughout our lives. God, help us. Help us to just believe more in your promises, in your words, in your actions throughout all of history. Amen.